May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. This is Revelation chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the 24 living creatures saying as with a voice of thunder, Come. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow and a crown, and was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, Come. And another red horse went out, and to him who was on it, it was granted to take a piece from the earth, that men should slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. And when he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, Come. And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard as it were a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius. Do not harm the oil and the wine. That first seal and the third seal have always meant a lot to me, and I think it's a word for us. This week I was praying, just asked the Lord, I said, Lord, it was real spiritual. I thought it was being real spiritual. I said, Lord, I want to go as far as you desire for me to go. And he said, it doesn't work that way. He said, my desires for you are unlimited. He said, you'll go as far as you desire to go, and there are no restrictions. And that's our part. And this third seal was always spoken to me about how he came with his scale and measuring that you would so much, you'd get so much for this much barley and so much for this much barley. And years ago, the Holy Spirit just really spoke that in my life. And from that point, I just began to cry out, God, I don't want to live a measured life. I want my life to be unmeasured. I want my obedience to be something you can't measure. I want my love for you to be something that can't be measured. I want my faith for you to be something that can't be measured. It goes beyond being able to be measured. I want my surrender to be unmeasured. Because when it says about Jesus that he comes with that bow and that crown on a white horse conquering and to conquer, the thing that Jesus longs to conquer the most is a human heart. And we set the limits. It's by our desires that we set the limits of how much of our heart he conquers. Now I've discovered, and it's part of the glorious process of walking with him, is that I never stop. There's a place in Joel, I think it's Joel or maybe Zephaniah, where he talks about the Lord taking out lanterns and searching. And that's one of the things I've also prayed over the years, Lord, is take out a lantern and search all the corners of my life, all the corners in my heart. And if you see anything there, I want it exposed by the lantern because I don't want to be measured. I'll give you everything but that, Lord. You can have everything but that particular attitude or that particular situation or that particular thing. You can not. I would rather him correct me because I've gone too far to love him too much. And you go, Chuck, you've done more. You did too much. I wasn't even requiring that of you. I'd rather be corrected there than constantly having to be corrected that you won't go far enough. You know what I'm saying? For all you Song of Solomon fans, for the youth, you've got it coming out of your pores and ears. Song of Solomon starts with this amazing prayer that God always responds to when the Shulamite cries out, Draw me after you and let us run. Then it says, The king has brought me into his chambers. The rest of the book is the story, that story unfolding. This God answering that prayer and Jesus bringing that believer into deeper and deeper places in the chambers of his heart. Because God's got more than two chambers or three chambers or four chambers. His heart's got multiple chambers. And every chamber you get closer. And so there's this prayer, Lord, draw me after you. And I don't want to walk there. I don't want to kind of stroll there. I want to run there. I'm at a place where I want to be what you've created me to be. What you died on the cross for me to be. I want to run there as far as I can run. And when you get to chapter 2, I love these verses. We don't have time to get all of it, but this is the Shulamite. She says, Listen, behold, my beloved. He's coming. He's climbing on the mountains. He's leaping on the hills. My beloved is like a young gazelle, a young stag. Behold, he's standing behind our wall, and he is peering through the windows, and he's peering through the lattice behind our walls. Lord, behind the relationship they've created. This is a place they created together. But he's always coming to us to this place where we're at in the Lord. And as far as we know, we're as obedient as we know how to be at this point. And he says, now, are you ready for more? You said without measure. You said you'd love me with all your heart. There's more to your heart than you realize, Chuck. Do you want to experience more? Do you want to love me more? Yeah, but this is such a good place, Lord. I've learned how to navigate this place. I'm comfortable here. I can deal with it here. No, there's more. Well, I prayed that prayer, draw me after you, Lord, let us run. Now you'll discover he's going to always do this. He's going to do this always in your life. And so he repeats again that this person, basically the language, rest of the language is, you're ready. The winter's gone. The voice of the turtle dove, the Holy Spirit's there. The figs have ripened. You're ready. Your heart is ripe for the next place. And then he says, Jesus says, my dove, let me hear your form. Let me hear your voice. Let me see your form. For your voice is sweet and your form is lovely. First and foremost, every time God takes us to a new place, it's to a new place of interior transformation, interior intimacy, a place that where we're transformed in the secret place with him, to a deeper place of intimacy, and a deeper place of transformation. When it talks about that one of the things the Shulamite says is, my Lord to me is like a bag of myrrh hanging all night long on my chest over my heart. Well, myrrh always speaks of the cross, and he is like that. God's always dealing with things in my secret places in my heart where nobody else can see. He's applying the cross. Because I said, I want it all. I said, I don't want to be measured. The next thing it says, and he's like a cluster of henna blossoms. It's like resurrection life. And you see that. And see, like when you see resurrection life manifesting at a higher level in a Christian's life, you're like going, that is so cool. We can just see the transformation. That is so cool. What you don't know, though, is that in the night places where nobody else can see, the little bag of myrrh has been applied to my heart. That's the only way. You can't do the cross. You can't do resurrection without crucifixion. You got to lay stuff down for him to raise stuff up. But this is the thing, all that is to say this. Having said that, the first thing he says to this believer is then, catch the little foxes for us. It's us that's at stake. The little foxes are not just after you. They're after the us. They're after your relationship with him. After you, maybe the one who has said, take me away with you, Lord. Let us run. I want to go as far and as high as you can go. Not as far and high as I can just go, but as far and high as you can go, Lord. I want to go. And he says, catch the little foxes. Catch the little foxes for us. And it's the little foxes that ruin the vineyards while the vines are in blossom. And her response is, my beloved is mine and I am his. That's wonderful. That's true. But we can't just celebrate that while we let the little foxes ruin the vineyard. And it's when God's doing a work in your life. It's when you're beginning to progress. It's when you're beginning to make movement in the Lord. It's when your heart's become enlarged because you've been brought into the new chambers of his heart. It's when your vision of all that you can experience in him and all of him that you can experience, which is what it's all about. It's there the little foxes will come and attack. The enemy is not going to applaud and celebrate your advances in the Lord. They're going to come to destroy, and they're not going to show up with a red suit and a red tail and long horns and knock on the door of your mind and go, hey, hello, so why don't you know this is the devil, and I want to destroy what God's been doing in your life. It's going to show up very familiar, little foxes, things that you're used to, things that are easy to get you with, little attitudes, little dispositions, little thoughts. It always happens that way. Maybe somebody did something to you or didn't do something for you. Maybe somebody whatever. Maybe this, that. What is it that you're prone to? And you've taken up an offense. That's a little fox. And the purpose of the little fox is to ruin, I'll say it in this other way, y'all. See, y'all is a very good word. And I mean y'all, about you and Jesus, to ruin that place. And Jesus says, you've got to catch them. I'll show them to you, but you got to catch them. And if there comes a point where you have to take them and say, I died to that, and throw it at the foot of the cross, because the little foxes are there to ruin the vineyard. And what's most important to you? Do you love that little attitude? Do you love that little thing more than you love him? Because that's really what the issue is about. He came conquering in to conquer. And he can't conquer your heart if you won't let him conquer the things that rival his heart to you. Because here's what happens. Until the cool of the day, when the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of Bether. The word Bether is separation. And what the little foxes are at, they're not just after that little moment, but they're after a stronghold where they can keep coming at that same little place. That I'm just so comfortable. I'm just so used to doing that little thing, saying those little things, thinking those little things, copping that little attitude. Because what they're after is a mountain of separation. Not that he ever leaves you. He never leaves you. but a mountain of separation of your consciousness of His presence, where you suddenly find yourself 2 weeks out going, wow, it seemed so real just the other day. That's what the enemy's after, is your consciousness of how real that is, your union with Him. You want to live an unmeasured life? You want to know what it is to be a lovesick dwelling place from which Jesus can live in fullness? Then there's a battle. The battle's for your heart. And it'll come in the form of not lions and tigers and bears, oh my. It'll come in the form of little foxes. Just as Jesus is saying, and understand, when the little foxes attack, when you find yourself getting pulled into this place, what's really happened, it happened at the same time Jesus is saying, rise up and come away with me to even a new place, even a better place, even a bigger place. There's more to this large room. I want you to explore more. And as He's saying, explore more, one of the ways you can know that you are on the cusp of another breakthrough in your walk with the Lord is the little foxes are coming after you. And you don't let yourself get deceived and think, well, you know, no, they did this, and they did this. No. This isn't about them. Give me a break. Learn. It's not about them. Quit trying to discern people's motives and what's going on. It's all about you. It's all about the us. And if you've been hit by little foxes, that's evidence. Be encouraged that the Lord must be saying to you, rise up and come away to another place in me, to a new breakthrough. So, it's Friday's preaching day at noon Eucharist. You have an opportunity today at Eucharist. What a great opportunity, huh? To come to the cross? Because at every Eucharist, the cross is made present. The great manifestation, there's a place in Romans 5 says, here's how God demonstrates His love. This is the great demonstration of God's love, that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Eucharist is at least that. If the cross is made present, it's this amazing demonstration of Christ stretching out His arms in lovesickness for you. That's unmeasured. Will you be crucified? You know what? You already were 2,000 years ago with Him. Would you just say yes to that and lay down that little stuff, that nonsense? Is it really worth it? I haven't found a sin, and I've tried most sin. I haven't found a sin yet that was worth it. So I speak to you from experience, from an expert's point of view. I've made sin an art form, and none of it's worth it. This is a good chance for you today at the foot of the cross. As you drink His blood and partake of His body, to say, yes, Lord, again to your cross. And stop blaming other people for your misery, because there's only one thing that can make you miserable, and that's your own sin. Makes it simple, doesn't it? That makes it wonderful, too, because now you don't have to worry about whether they change or not. You can pray into their change, but your victory has nothing to do with whether they change or don't. Because let me tell you, I can guarantee you, you have, I don't know why I'm getting on this, but if you're having a problem with somebody else, you've not really understood what's going on there. Because the Scripture says, if you have a judgmental heart, you have a beam in your eye. And if you have a beam in your eye, you can't see clearly what's going on. Or maybe it's just some other issue of sin in your life. It's just very familiar, a little fox. And uses the same old little foxes. This is a good day to lay it down. Okay, trade up. That's what repentance is. Let's stand together.